Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Oh, well, we got a Glenn Davis who had to get up early today. How you like getting up in L.A. for the show, Glenn?
I am ready to go. I got my coffee. I was up about a half hour ago, and we leave for the stadium like at about 8 o'clock in the morning. So,
oh, really?
We get out there. Oh, yeah, you got to get out there early, a couple hours before the game.
Oh, that's right. It's afternoon game, right?
Noon.
Yeah. Yeah, noon here. Right. In L.A., Glenn Davis is here. He is doing the game today. Okay, we'll start with this game, Glenn. This is the game that the U.S. could have been in. Instead, Belgium is here, taking on Spain. You've studied it, both sides, and it will be a really – goals are going to be at a premium, aren't they?
So Spain hasn't conceded a goal yet. You got two great goalkeepers. You led me into that perfectly because you got Courtois for Belgium and Spain. You have Simon. Spain has not given up a goal. They downplayed that in the press conference because, you know, that's like everybody was bringing up the fact that they hadn't conceded. And De La Fuente, their manager, just said, look, we're not obsessed with that. We're obsessed with winning and advancing. And we're not really even thinking about that. But Spain's a possession and pressing team. They lose the ball. They hunt it back very quickly. Belgium's got to break that first line of pressure, I think, with the ball, and then try to hit them in transition in the vertical game and do a better job of that than Morocco did against France.
No. I'm curious how much of that, because the streak's almost at like 600 minutes, I think, of not conceding a goal. From what you've seen, I don't know how many of those matches you've seen, probably most of them, but from what you've seen, what percentage do you account for just great defensively, you know, tactics and play and discipline and goalkeeping, and how much of it is just the pure amount of possession that Spain has to limit the opportunities on the other side?
I mean, it's a simple concept. If you have the ball, the opponent can't score goals.
Right.
This is one of the best possession teams in the world. They dominate possession. Today they have to dominate possession and create chances. And when they lose the ball, it's an immediate swarm and press to get it back right away. It's not dropping off. It's like a switch turns on in the brains of these guys to get the ball back quickly. And then they hunt the ball. And, the pressing game has a lot of what do they call them? They call them triggers, right? So if somebody makes a pass back, then you might see one guy go, and then the whole team goes. A poor first touch. You know, there's all these little triggers that then say to the Spanish team, okay, now we're getting tight on everybody. But, you know, it's a simple concept. It's win the ball close to the opponent's goal. Now, to implement it and execute it, you have to have a lot of mentally strong guys that are willing to do that.
Well, I'll tell you this about Belgium. I mean, the U.S. was looking so sharp with their passing, and then they looked so terrible against Belgium. They pressed well. Yeah. They dispossessed the ball so often, it was very difficult on the U.S. Belgium will win this game if they...
Belgium will win this game if they defend as a unit well. Very good at noticing moments to go in transition and when maybe Spain potentially is overcommitted. They may win it off a set piece, but they have to be really good at recognizing moments to break out after they win the ball in transition. And I think they're going to have to move up the field a little bit like they did against the U.S. at times and for time periods and confront Spain a little bit higher up the field. Belgium's without Anana, who was their big defensive midfielder. He got hurt against the U.S. He had the ACL injury, so that's a big loss. and we were kind of looking forward to that Rodri versus Onana matchup in midfield, two of the great sort of defensive holding midfielders, but that's not going to happen. And, you know, the other thing about Belgium, and 1-1 versus Egypt, 0-0 versus Iran, then they beat New Zealand 5-1. Then they come back and beat Senegal, and then, you know, they basically played their best game against the U.S., I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they look. Here's the thing, too, Glenn, is you're going to have so few chances against Spain, you have to finish. We've, you know, like Norway, England, so few chances, but they just finish.
You have to be efficient. I think we've seen efficient finishing in this tournament, and it's why we go back to all the big names that are banging in goals left and right. And, we can sit here and we can break the game down tactically as much as we want and deep drill down and paralysis by analysis. We can go all over, but at the end of the day, you know, a lot of it comes down to the great finishers and the players that can make and change games.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle, like, Jeremy Doku, who they brought in late against the U.S., or they subbed in Romelu Lukaku. You know, they clearly said, we're going to have our young legs to really press the U.S., and we want these guys to be able to finish the match as opposed to being subbed out, especially Lukaku, who can't, you know, 70 minutes is a lot for him to ask 70.
So yeah, but that's a brilliant way to use a player like that, right?
No, I thought it was
that's how a legend still breathes. A legend still breathes because a coach has decided on a way to use him that's effective, to let everybody run themselves out, and then you bring him in. By the way, he's a massive body. I mean, he can roll people. He can hold people off. His touch maybe isn't the sharpest and the greatest, but he can hurt you. And you know, that also means that a player has to accept that, right? And then you could go to Ronaldo and say maybe he would have been better as an option off the bench instead of playing every minute of every game. So, and I think Doku, it sounds like via the press conferences that Doku could get a start today, which will give Belgium a very dangerous winger in transition.
Yeah, so they're going to need that. And then my guess is De Bruyne probably gets a start, and then Lukaku for sure would come off the bench, I would bet, because you just have to weather the storm. And like John said, you know, you have to finish that efficiency. You're not going to get a lot of shots on goal. So when you get your opportunities, but they're more than just those three players too. Like there's some quality on Belgium's side. It's just Spain's just not going to give you many opportunities.
Oh, Belgium's got a lot of talented players. The guy I really liked against the U.S. was Tielemans.
Yeah,
in midfield, he played exceptional. You got Trossard, who had one of the assists, and everybody watches him in the Premier League with Arsenal. Of course, you got Courtois in goal, who is a legendary goalkeeper at Real Madrid. People know all about him. The guys that sort of De Ketela, who scored the two goals, who had the header over Tim Ream, he kind of plays as a almost like a false nine, but they played him a little bit higher. So, yeah, they've got a lot of very, very good players. They may not be as well known as some of the Spanish, but excellent team. And excellent players on any day is going to give anybody a problem.
Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief, every morning right here, 8 o'clock on ESPN 97.5. He's calling the game tonight, or this afternoon, rather, Spain versus Belgium. Yesterday, Mbappe was, you know, again, he was just great. If I'll give you any player, Glenn, just for next year, not for their career, just for 1 year, give you any player in the world, which guy would you choose? Would it be Mbappe?
Yeah, probably, because he's 27 years old and there's still a lot more to go with this guy. I mean, I think he's played in 20 World Cup games, has 20 goals. It's pretty incredible. What I loved about him yesterday was, you know, misses a penalty. A lot of guys are buried. You miss a world. Imagine missing a penalty in the World Cup, and it's like it doesn't bother the guy. It rolls off him like water to a duck. And, you know, he comes up with the game winner minutes later. So the man is a beast. The man is on fire. It looks like France is having a good time with the way they're playing as well, which makes them a really, really dangerous animal. And I think the other thing is we forget to mention the other guys on the team because we quickly go to Mbappe and Dembele and all the attacking guys. But, you know, the two holding midfielders, Kone and Rabiot, they kind of hold it down and balance it so those guys have the freedom to attack. And then, you know, if somehow you breach them, you got to get through Saliba, Upamecano, Koundé, and all these other guys that nobody really talks about but really are the shell that sets up kind of the ability for everybody to take a lot of risk and play the game the way they do.
I got to ask you this because I'm trying to remember. I think Stu Holden has talked about it. Several broadcasters have talked about it. The stutter step penalty kick where you basically – goalkeepers aren't really showing their hands that early. Mbappe tried it. He doesn't – I don't know that he does this very frequently. He didn't earlier in the
– Yeah, then, I've seen him do it before.
You have seen it? Okay. Yeah. He did it, and then he just – it was a really – I thought it was a poor attempt. Didn't get a whole lot of power on it. Didn't feel like a very dangerous ball relative to what he usually does. But what are your thoughts on? That's just a general question. But like, what are your thoughts on that stutter step PK? Because it seems like they haven't been very successful this.
Yeah, I think overcomplicating penalty kicks can lead to trouble. I think there is a level of it that people want to do it with style points, Panenka's stutter step. The stutter is to get the goalkeeper to move or lean. And what I've seen goalkeepers doing is kind of funny. I mean, and that guy was there before almost Mbappe took the shot. I mean, he telegraphed the penalty like there was, you know, everybody could see it. The goalkeeper saw it. He saw his hips. He saw everything. I think when you do the stutter step, you're hoping when you pick your head up that you see a goalkeeper moving. If he doesn't move, a lot of times mentally it just stones people, and you see him hit it right at the goalkeeper. I'd be telling goalkeepers nowadays, and they do their homework, they know where these guys take penalties, they know if they stutter or not, just stand in the middle of the goal. Play it honest, because it may come right to you.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't react to their reacting, you know, with the stutter step. Also, the other bizarre thing with penalties, I was thinking about this last night. Why are so many center backs and defenders taking penalties?
I mean, because they're not doing well.
Yeah, they aren't. I mean, I remember the two center backs on Australia came up in penalties. Akanji missed one. Remember Jonathan Tah, Germany, finally got to the World Cup, and I mean, he ballooned his into the second row.
He never had one, right?
Paraguay. What's that?
He'd never had one. He'd never taken one.
Yeah, he wasn't a penalty taker. I think he took it because others didn't want to take it.
Nobody wanted to.
Tells you about Germany.
Yeah, the Australian.
That is the worst.
The Australian teenager with acne who was a center back, and as he was walking up, the whole broadcast was baffled as to why he was like, oh, boy, this is a tough spot for him. And sure enough, he airmailed one as well.
The Australian young man. The Australian?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lucas Harrington.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Colombia in penalties.
Yeah.
And he missed too. Sanchez, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what that trend is. I really haven't figured it out. Maybe it's just people don't want to take them. I don't know. I don't know.
That's crazy. Glenn Davis with us every morning on ESPN 97.5. He is calling the game. It's brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief right here. Talking soccer, and we got the weekend. We got a preview the weekend, Glenn. We got a preview England and Norway. What do you think of that one?
Ooh, I love that one. Well, we spoke about England and Norway, and that's like a Premier League advertisement, right? Erling Haaland is just having the best of times in America. I think they're having a lot of fun, Norway. And like I said, the last show I was on, that I think a Norwegian team that's having fun and is loose but focused on the task can be very, very dangerous. That said, England's. I mean, I still am pretty in awe of that performance down in Mexico. I just that was an epic performance. How do you follow that up? Are you able to follow that up? Because it has been an England that has gone a little bit up and down in the tournament, started in a big way. And a lot of this is momentum at this point, but boy, what Jude Bellingham, Harry Kane, and these guys did in that game, that was something special, because you're not just playing an opponent down there. We have to be fair. You're playing the altitude. You're playing the mystique. You're playing against a lot of different conditions. That was something. And if that warrior spirit remains with them, I think this Norway-England game is going to be pretty amazing.
It's great. Erling Haaland is using the old reverse psychology. I don't know if you guys saw this. He was asked about England, and he just said, for me, I think it's super special because I play in England. I'm born in England. He goes, I think everyone should stay humble, but they should be confident of progressing, definitely. He's given the old, his comments were about how England is, they should definitely move on. I mean, they're such quality. They're so good.
Well,
he went full Lou Holtz on him and like, oh yeah, no, England is, they're the best team.
Well, he did that against France too, right? He said, I don't think we have a chance here.
Right. I love it.
Yeah,
I think Haaland more than anybody, Glenn. And there's a lot of social media. You may have missed some of this, but there's a lot of videos showing Haaland being nice to children and stuff like that.
I just saw a video. He's playing golf in Miami, and he's fixing a ball mark. And that was the whole video. What class. Erling Haaland fixing a ball
he's
mark
got a
on the
great
green.
PR, but
just
like
classy.
But I think he actually is that kind of guy. But I don't know that anyone's had a bigger glow up in the World Cup, added more fans than Erling Haaland, people who maybe didn't know him. I think maybe he's been the guy who's benefited the most from this World Cup.
Oh, it's incredible. But he is a very funny guy. He looks like a guy enjoying life. That's the type of person you want to be around. I saw a really cool one of him in the tunnel. I guess it was before one of these World Cup games. I don't know where it came from, but all these little kids are around him as ball boys, and they're all kind of hugging him like he's Santa Claus, you know? Mm-hmm. They're all walking up to him like one by one, and they want a hug from him, you know? It's very cool. It shows you the power, the influence of the athlete. But, I hope he didn't buy all the cowboy hats and boots in Texas.
Did you see that, John?
Yes. No.
The store sold out with everything that he had on in the picture. They sold out. They're all on back order with the boots.
That's crazy. He also said he was asked about going out and enjoying stuff. He said, I don't go out. I like to train. I go home to my wife and we hang out and
he's
just train.
Already?
It's like, oh, yeah. He's got a beautiful wife.
Son.
Yeah. Yeah. Switzerland
hey,
and
guys,
Argentina.
Just one other thing on Haaland, John. What's funny is like, now people have been examining his ethic and his training habits and what he eats, and he eats a lot of organs, heart, liver, that kind of stuff. He's a big proponent of getting a lot of sleep, right? And all of a sudden, on my phone this morning, there's all these pills that are about, they're pushing pills about, that have organ meat in and all this stuff so you can be like a Viking.
that is funny. Your phone, the Big Brother's watching, Glenn, so be careful what you're looking at on your phone.
I got nothing to hide.
Yep. And finally, Argentina versus Switzerland. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Argentines are the heavy favorites in that. It's Messi and company. Everybody's talking about the fact that, this could be a France and Argentina rematch. I think Argentina's on a roll here. But you know what? Switzerland has gotten here for a reason. And the Swiss will try to hang in this game with Argentina and try to produce a result. Maybe try and take it to penalties. Either way, I think this is probably the one quarterfinal that you feel like sways heavily to the favor of one team over the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. Yesterday
listen,
it was
I don't want to be disrespectful to Switzerland. And you know what?
They've
be
been
careful
good.
Being disrespectful to Belgium today as well. And by the way, we didn't even mention Lamine Yamal. So Lamine will be up front and center today for Spain.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. That's another pretty good player we're going to watch this weekend. So it's all this weekend. We will talk about all of those games on Monday with Glenn Davis. He'll be back. I would imagine you'll be back in Houston, and we will do that. You don't have to get up early like me, Glenn. You don't have. You won't have to. You can get up regular time on Monday.
To watch both the games.
Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief, every morning right here on ESPN 97.5. Thank you, Glenn. We appreciate you. Have a great game today.
Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Glenn. Every morning, brought to you by Kaplan, Dr. Kaplan. And we're talking about Billy Brown right now. Billy Brown is the guy who makes the brown go down. I think that, you know what? I think they should put that on their website. We make the brown go down. I mean, it seems like is it not appropriate? Billy Brown making the brown go down. This is what I'm talking about. Billy, you know what? We are marketing geniuses, not only Texas Radio Hall of Famers, but marketing geniuses, and we're marketing this. You, if someone has problems with the brown going down, Billy Brown is here for you. He's the guy you call, 281-488-6238. But also, if you're having problems with your stream, your water stream, Billy is here for you as well, all right? Billy helps your stream, your water stream, because maybe it's not what it should be. Maybe you got some kind of leak somewhere like you did, Lance.
Yeah, it's your water pressure is a major, it's a major issue for a lot of people. Sometimes it's a very simple fix for them. So why don't you have them come out? That's considered a smaller job. They come out there and they do that. A leaky faucet, you just get the drip, drip, drip. You're tired of it. But you could have major, you could have something leaking behind the wall. You could have something leaking with a pipe that is corroded underneath your structure, your slab, that's causing problems. Listen, big or small, they do the job. 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company, 281-488-6238.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5-713-780. Did you combine, Dell? No one knows. No one knows if you combined. That's the question everybody's asking. Yeah, we got a few things that we need to get to today. The numbers on the U.S.-Belgium game, 33 million people.
With a high of 41.4 million at one point.
Right, average 33. The Mexico game, I think, averaged more, 55.
Well, over two networks.
Yeah.
Over Fox and Telemundo.
Yep.
The U.S. is only considered over Fox. It's the highest soccer match in history.
Right.
The 55 single network.
The 55 matched conference championship, NFL conference championship games, which is pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think these numbers for the people who just, I get it. If it's not your thing, you don't want to watch, that's fine. But there are people who go out of their way to try to, like, make their opinions known about soccer. Well, we don't really care. I mean, if you don't watch it, don't watch it. It's like somebody who doesn't like baseball. If you don't like baseball, don't watch baseball. That's fine. Well, the same thing goes for soccer. If you don't like the World Cup or soccer, don't watch soccer. That's fine. But it's really undeniable that it has seen a spike in growth. And this year, I've seen so many people, and I'm just talking about people on social media who have a name, like former athletes, or people like Kirk Herbstreit, who said, "Man, this is just unbelievable. I got to find a team to follow. I'm going to start following." Now, I made that decision in 14, and it's just been misery since then with Everton. But I will say, that's just people that are kind of famous, pseudo famous people. I'm sure there's a ton of just regular people listening right now, listening to our show, who said, "Man, I never watched, and this has been great." I mean, because the matches have been really good. The best players are performing at the highest level. The matches have had high drama. It's been everything that you could, and it's in the United States in the times that we are used to watching, like playoff baseball, for example, because you have it staggered throughout the day. This has actually been a best-case scenario. The best-case scenario with U.S. beating Belgium and then playing Spain. Unfortunately, they had the most viewers ever for a game. They look like the dirtiest booty ever for U.S. men's national team. But the sport itself and the opportunity for that to grow here is – and it's been growing. There's a lot of pro athletes. Like, I remember talking to, man, D-Hop, it would have been – when did he come out? It had been 2015. I was in the locker room, and he remembered that we had talked briefly about about soccer is either 15 or 16. And he's like a huge Premier League fan. He has been for over a decade. And so, you know, LeBron is a part owner of Liverpool. J.J. Watt has ownership in a soccer club. The sport's going to come up in this country, whether there are people who are against it or not, whatever. The sport is going to continue to grow here. The question is, when you get it to grow organically, is when you get more, when the youth leagues get bigger. That's what's going to happen. And that's the question I can't answer. I just listen to experts talk about it. I don't know. My kids never played youth soccer other than some YMCA soccer. So, and they weren't that, you know, weren't that great. So I don't know. But I do think the World Cup has made more full-time soccer fans. For sure, people are going to tune in the next World Cup. For sure. The question is there a growth between those 4 years? And the big question is there a growth for the U.S. where people have an interest in the U.S. men's national team outside of what they're waiting for in 2030? You know, do you care in 27? Do you care in 28? Do you care in 29 about the build-up to the World Cup? That's going to be interesting because there's CONCACAF, Gold Cup. Like, there's opportunities to follow that team. We'll see if people do it. Oh, are absolutely. You going to, John? You watched all these World Cup matches. I presume this is the most interested you've ever been in soccer.
I don't think that they market it well enough because, yeah, I will if I know that they're going on.
Yeah.
But, like, Dell will come in the next day and go, oh, yeah, we had a qualifier against them. I'm like, oh,
against Chile, they got a draw. Like, what? They did?
Yeah, really?
What channel?
Did they? No one knew.
No one knew.
No one knew that happened.
It was a pop-up. It was a pop-up game.
Maybe if they market it a little bit better and say, hey, this is a big game that you know, it's going to matter whether or not we get into the World Cup, then, yeah, I think that more people would be. But I never heard that. I've never heard, hey, watch out tonight, big game, you know?
There's a reason it's a four-year cycle because qualifying starts, like, next year for certain countries. Like, the U.S. is at a level where they won't have to participate in the early qualifying. But, like, World Cup qualifying will start for countries who normally don't make it next year. So the cycle is as long as it is for reasons. Yeah, it's tough. If you want to be a USMNT fan, then sometimes you got to watch on TNT or HBO Max. Other times it'll be on Fox. There's not a set network. You know, you can go to watch. So that's part of the problem.
Better and people would, you know, give a heads up. Hey, this is a big game tonight.
Well,
I've never heard that.
Well, I think because for the most part, this country doesn't treat the qualifying stage as a big deal. Only until we missed it that one time in 18, then it became a big deal because it was embarrassing. We're just expected to make it, so it doesn't get the same type of attention. It's like the playoffs.
And so, it could get people more interested in different players. And, oh, this guy's good. Oh, you know what?
Yeah, this is a big moment for a 19-year-old is getting his first call-up, but we don't treat it that way.
Like, that's what interests me.
Yeah, like in baseball, when a big-time prospect comes up, people know. They want to see it. We don't treat, like, a World Cup qualifier or even a friendly or a first appearance from maybe the next big player for the U.S. We don't treat it the same way.
Did you combine or we got a break here?
We got to go.
All right, let's break here. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get it. We got some basketball news that we got to get to on the other side right here. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Gave out the phone number, and Tyler's here. He wants to talk on the radio. Let's get him in here. Tyler, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what Lance was discussing about how this World Cup has influenced the growth of soccer. I mean, I've enjoyed watching it. I think a lot of it, you know, obviously rooting for USA. I'm going to root for USA and any excited about it if we think that they have a chance. And the World Cup being here and hosting it and then in Houston and then y'all talking about it. But this is the most soccer I probably ever watched. I watched almost pretty much every game. Not because of the inconsistencies and the time and the offsides and just the red cards and yellow cards and the subjectivity. And so those things are a little annoying to me. And I'll watch this World Cup because it's a big deal. But getting into regular soccer throughout the year, if y'all aren't talking about it and hyping it up, then I don't really have much interest in it.
Yeah, that's going to be the case. I think that's the majority, John. I think, you know, I probably enjoy watching, you know, watching El Clasico more, watching, you know, Real Madrid, watching. I just pretty much watch my team, and then I don't really care about everyone else, and that's probably dumb because I really actually love watching all these guys during World Cup, and then once the season starts, it's in the middle of college. It's Saturday. It pretty much starts when college football starts. I'm kind of busy on Saturdays. I watch my squad, but I got a bunch of games I'm watching on Saturdays. And then there's a match on Sunday. Well, there's other things that we watch here on Sunday. So, you know, you have a midweek every once in a while, a Tuesday or Wednesday. But I think it's going to be tough for people to lock in on Premier League when they start realizing it overlaps with college football.
Do you think the Premier League should change their schedule to fit the American audience?
I would do it, make it a spring league.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think if you really want the U.S. fans, you're going to have to change your offsides penalties.
Mm-hmm.
No more cards. I would say, I don't know, do the U.S. fans like PKs or don't like PKs? I can't tell.
Well, MLS used to have a version of that to decide games.
Is what I'm talking about.
They used to have a version of that to decide games, and it wasn't a penalty kick shootout. It would be like a run-up. You take the ball from about the 40-yard line or so, and the goalkeeper will come out and challenge you. So MLS tried to make it different. Then that's not soccer, so they changed it.
My wife hates penalty kicks to end matches. She said, I hate matches in like this. I'm like, we don't have all damn day, okay? Some of these matches could go on for an eternity.
I think most people love the penalty kick.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. I love the fact that the drama, I like is that there are people who are so cool and collected. But I also like the fact, or I'm intrigued by the notion that it's so smothering with pressure. And, you know, pressure is self-created. There's no such thing as pressure. The only way you feel pressure is when you create pressure on your mentally, you create your own pressure. The brain creates pressure. So the ability to calm yourself, this is what's always, I've always had a great admiration for great athletes who don't seem to feel pressure. Like Lance Berkman will always have a special place because those guys who perform in big opportunities, you know, the guys who have hit the Jose Altuves, who have hit the home run, like I'll always remember that forever. Similarly, when guys like James Harden fail in pressure situations, we never forget. We'll never forget that. But I just have a real affinity for players who do things that I just think, man, just regular people couldn't handle this. They couldn't. And penalty kicks are one of those things when it's a shootout and it's to decide a match. And because in other countries, if you miss, it could have reverberations that are felt for, in some cases, a lifetime. We obviously know the most famous, it wasn't a PK, but we know that a Colombian defender was, I think a defender was, a guy named Escobar, ironically enough, was murdered after he had an own goal in a World Cup. But I just find it fascinating and intriguing that you miss, and this is going to stain you forever in your country. That's how big a deal the World Cup is in other countries. But similarly, I assume you could be a hero. I mean, Kirk Gibson will be beloved by Dodger fans for an eternity for coming up clutch. You know, clutch players just have a special place in our hearts, period. But that pressure is what creates that clutch opportunity in those penalty kicks, those shootouts.
Well, is Christian Pulisic, is America done with him?
No.
Okay.
No, this is the most overblown thing. Christian Pulisic's still a good player. He'll get his chance, just like James Harden every year got a new max contract extension and went to a new team and was a big deal. Like, are we doing that? And then people every year would come back and say, James, y'all are too hard on you. It took some people 7 years of failure, 8 years of failure for people to say, I may be on the wrong side of this James Harden thing.
I think the...
It took some people in Houston a long time to figure out.
I think the hardcore soccer, U.S. a soccer fan, well, sure, if you want to work your way back into the national team and be a member of the team, that's cool, but we're done with the marketing campaign. We're done with you being put in a position where you're the face of U.S. soccer. We don't want that anymore. You are just like everybody else. You got to earn your spot on the squad, no matter who the coach is. That's what they're asking.
Don't you think that's a good thing?
Yeah, sure. I don't know that the U.S. Soccer Federation is down with that because they love a marketing campaign. But I think soccer fans are like, he's just one of a potential 26.
We need a new guy.
If he wants to earn it, cool. But we're not going to do this thing where the entire program is centered around Pulisic anymore. It's not something people have the stomach for anymore.
Scotty Pulisic or Christian Pippen.
Scotty Pulisic.
He needs to be a Robin. He doesn't need to be a Batman. Well, he's not a Batman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Robin is probably too strong.
It's not Robin's too long. Not even he's more the Joker.
We need a star like Michael Bradley. That's what we need a star
no.
like.
Oh, God, yeah. Gross.
Mm-hmm. That's what
I'll
we
hate
need.
That guy for an eternity.
People
just
loved
he turned it
Michael
over.
Bradley.
Ooh, they didn't like him, and he even played in the Premier League. Like I don't, and they actually, I've actually heard broadcasters, or I've watched on the set. It was the guys who do the Champions League commentary. Two of them were on the set, and they were talking, and they were because this something Davies. Was complaining that Charlie Davies was complaining that he thinks Americans are disrespected and not taken seriously in international soccer when they go over to play for clubs.
Sure.
And then Thierry Henry, who I've gotten to where I'm not a Thierry is a he's a bit of a he's a bit pompous, frankly.
A Frenchman is pompous.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Frenchy.
I didn't even think about okay. that. But yeah. And he's just he makes these faces when you're talking, and he's
they don't
so dismissive. They don't.
I think it's pretty cool.
And that was his point. And Thierry's like, "That's not true." He said, "Everyone has to earn respect when you come over. Everyone has to." And he was pointing this and this. And while that's true, it finally Jules or whoever was on the another English, you know, the one who was running the show, she said, "Well, but let's be honest. When you see Americans like when Bob Bradley came, I guess I didn't know Bob Bradley went over and was." Like at Leeds, or he was somewhere in the Premier League. He was a manager there. He said, "Do you think that they really respected him?" And they finally, no, probably not. What Davey said was probably right. They don't respect those guys.
No,
respect the Americans. Well,
same way our players treated the European players when they came over.
Basketball,
initially. Yeah,
initially, but they earned it.
Yeah, we initially.
Well, they didn't like them.
Didn't want him over here. Didn't want him taking spots.
Stephen A. Smith. Oh, yeah. No, it was a real problem. No, Kenny Smith. I think it was Kenny Smith. I heard Stephen A. Smith. I remember on draft coverage, they acted like they were having, you know, this is.
Why are the European players
this
being
is,
drafted?
They're taking our jobs. This is go back to your own country.
It's the same thing.
It was a very jingoistic thing where they were appalled that people from other countries were being drafted ahead of American players.
Yeah.
Appalled. And, you know,
and
to be fair,
that is born out to be. Hey, maybe that
they had to get through their Nicholas Skidichavili,
and now
those
an
guys,
American but, can't win an MVP anymore.
I mean, that's what happened, and that's the same thing's coming for the Premier League. Soon, the Americans going to take over the Prem.
They caught up much quicker to us than I feel like we're going to catch up to them, and that's because
that's
of how their system is built.
Japan's got Otani.
Yeah, you become
best player in baseball.
You become professional really quickly, and they pay for your schooling. I don't want to get into the U.S. soccer model thing, but I saw someone point it out. How long did it take for the Europeans and other countries to catch up to us as far as their best players in basketball? Now, they don't have as many, but their best players are better than ours, and how are we ever going to be able to say that? In reverse about soccer?
Who's the best player in the NBA?
You never know.
Name your three best players.
It could take a while.
Who are
but
the
it could
three
happen.
Best, who are the three best players in the NBA right now?
You go Shea, Canadian. Yeah. So maybe you guys don't count that, but he's Canadian.
Jokic.
And then when Giannis is healthy, he's up there. Wimby,
Giannis,
that's another
Luka.
One. Yeah, Luka.
Yeah.
When do you get to an American?
No, you got to. Man, I don't know who is the American.
Who's the best American basketball player right now?
Let me think. Is it DeMar DeRozan?
Sure.
No. Let me think. For real. Let me think.
Kevin Durant, Jalen Brown.
No.
Tatum when healthy.
Jason Tatum is the best?
He's one of them.
And he's coming off injury.
And you still got to put Steph up there,
Brown.
Too.
Steph's been better than Tatum.
He's still one of the best American. He's one of the best American players going.
I know, but we can't have Steph Curry in this conversation.
It is what it is. What do you want?
Well, he's super old. Who else? No, yeah, we're
really
missing.
Good.
Who are we missing? We're missing good young players.
We gave you. Name one.
Anthony.
Jalen Brunson.
Anthony Edwards. There it is. There's
God.
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson. Squatty body.
You mean the finals MVP?
I just will never be on board with him being one of the best in the world.
And
are
yet,
you kidding?
You
just won a title.
I know. It's a me problem. I'll admit it.
You don't like,
I don't like the look of him. Yeah.
He
looks like,
look
he
them.
Eats hot dogs.
Anthony Edwards.
For breakfast.
Jalen Brown. Here's the scores. Luka, Shea, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brown, Tyrese Maxey.
It's Anthony Edwards, I think, is the answer.
Certainly,
Jalen Brown is right there too.
No, Jalen's good. But
talk to the NBA. Do they think so?
The NBA
you just got evidence that they don't think so.
The NBA says he's one of the least efficient players.
He says the Celtics, them hoes ain't loyal. Did you see that?
No.
Well, they did trade him.
Yeah, them. He said them hoes ain't loyal.
And they're having a hard time finding suitors for being the best American. I think it's Anthony Edwards.
Probably.
I think it's Anthony Edwards is the most talented and all that stuff. But if you go to baseball, it's Shohei Ohtani. Now. We're going to do – no, there's plenty of Dominican and Latin
players.
Who's
the best American
Cuban's the
player?
Best. The best.
Field – not pitcher, but player.
Yordan.
He's not American.
He's the American to me.
Best American player is – the best everyday player?
Yes.
Who is it, John?
The best everyday player in America – shortstop for the Royals.
Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt? That's our best. He's good, but I mean, we're a Bobby Witt. We're a Bobby Witt country.
I mean,
that doesn't feel USA USA.
Well, go through the Team USA roster.
All right, let me see. Well, let me find the batting leaders. Let's see. Let me look at the batting leaders.
Aaron Judge.
Can I read the batting leaders' last names?
Go ahead.
Lopez, Diaz, Arraez, Gonzalez, and Alvarez.
What about Huli?
Let's see. Those are AL. That's the that's
Troy
all
Johnston.
The Major League Baseball. All the Major League Baseball. That's just batting average. Because you've also got, Junghoo Lee.
Juan Soto, yeah. Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge. That's
Juan Soto's
Judge.
Not. Oh, okay. You're just listing guys.
I think Aaron Judge is our answer. It's not Kyle Schwarber.
And so our best American player
this is
doesn't show up in the clutch?
Well,
So he has that on him.
Sometimes.
I did a thing yesterday. We were trying to figure out.
Like LeBron.
We've got
two
guys who are called Captain America. Aaron Judge, Christian Pulisic, and then we use the actual current Captain America, Anthony Mackie. Who's had the best 2026? Now, Anthony Mackie hasn't even been in a major movie.
But he's probably smashed.
He's a married man, but whatever. As far as Captain America's are concerned, who's had a worse one? Aaron Judge didn't show up in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, but it's still Christian Pulisic.
Didn't show up in the World Series either.
Yeah, but
there are people talking about deporting Christian Pulisic, and he's from here.
Two years ago, anyway.
You can't deport him.
Yeah, so it's rough out here.
I would say it's got to be Aaron Judge because he's won all. So it's Aaron Judge. But he's behind Ohtani. We've got Anthony Edwards, who's behind several players. But we still own the NFL.
Well, thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't
America,
see
we did have that Florida State German defensive tackle.
Bjorn Werner. Yeah.
Werner.
He was a defensive end. He's actually he's big into the NFL, Germany thing that they're doing over there, but
is he?
We've had some Nigerians. We've had some Nigerian pass rushers.
Christian Okoye is a running back. Yeah, you have plenty.
We've had some guys from other countries.
The Biamilas.
But I think we're going to hang on to the. I think we're going to hang on to the top spot.
I think so.
Now other countries don't play U.S. football as much. They try, but I don't. I think we're going to be okay. But you will start having little guys. Are we the fastest? Are we the fastest? Right
I know
now?
We're not the I know fastest the, to a break. John,
nope,
you want
to
talk
about?
We're
the slowest to a break, but and that's why H&P is pissed off now. Because they're like, when are you going to talk about us? Well, I'll tell you when we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about you right now, H&P. We're going to talk about you. It's Friday. the week is winding down. What kind of week has it been? We're getting close to, I don't know. Maybe you guys pay every Friday. So you're doing payroll every Friday. Or maybe you do it 15th in the end of the month. Or maybe you do it once a month. I don't know how you do your payroll. However you do your payroll, H&P does it better. However you do your payroll, you do not have the technology that H&P does. So simple. So simple, you don't even need to, you don't have anything to do with it, basically. We've got Laura in our office. She's a part-time person. She basically deals with very little, but we got commission. We have got hourly. We got salary. Okay. So there is something that she has to do. Otherwise, not much. Our entire payroll department is a half a person. Well, she's not half a person, but she's a part-time person. That's it. And they take care of everything else. Now, you may have an admin company that you're like, okay, that admin company probably puts its name on golf tournaments and whatnot. You know why? Because they make a lot of money doing what they do. H&P ain't putting their name on no golf tournaments. You know why? Because they're a local company that is going to give you personalized service right here in the city of Houston and partner with your business to make you as good as you possibly can. And the bottom line is the bottom line. When it's all said and done, H&P is going to do it more efficiently, better, and they're going to do it more economically. You're going to have a better bottom line because of H&P. We do, and a bunch of people do. Here, listen to all the testimonies here. HRP.net. You want your business to be better? HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.